I do appreciate the help of the musicians this morning as we have enjoyed the worship of the Lord. I haven't quite been able to get it together just yet. I went and got me a cup of water. Oh, my mug was the closest thing I could find from Sunday school. So a little something to wet the whistle. We are going to turn to Deuteronomy today, chapter 11. A little earlier in the chapter where we were reading a couple of weeks ago. Deuteronomy chapter 11. We will begin our reading today at verse 7. A very providential place to begin our reading, having to do with our eyes. What are we going to do with our eyes in 2021? Deuteronomy 11, verse 7. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which He did. Therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land whither you go to possess it. And that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. You see the goodness of God? He said, oh, I would be so pleased for you to be there long, long, long time. And haven't we been so blessed in America for 400 years. Verse 10, for the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot. Very interesting expression. As a garden of herbs. But the land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 12. And we trust that the Lord will bless this very brief reading to our hearts this morning as we meditate together upon His Word. Your eyes have seen, verse 7, not all the little children's eyes had seen what God did during the 40 years wilderness wandering, or even the miracles that God performed to get them out of the land of Egypt. 10 great miracles that God did in Egypt. But you know, some of us can say, by the grace of God, we have seen the miracle, especially of being a dead, wicked, lost, hopeless sinner, and suddenly we were transformed by the grace of God and brought into peace with God, and we were brought into a new life where we now love what we used to hate, and we now hate what we used to love, so much of it. It's amazing that our eyes have seen that, and because our eyes have seen that, it has an effect on us to this day. So we're thinking especially about the eyes of the Lord today, where His eyes are and where our eyes should be. The Lord promised Israel a good land to inherit. They were to inhabit a land flowing with milk and honey. And that is amazing. You think about flowing with milk and honey. And you think about that day when Jonathan was going through the woods and the honey was just dripping down on the ground. I mean, right there, and just he touched his staff to that delicious substance dripping on the ground. And it was so, thrilling for him. And such a relief having been running in the battle and just to, be so refreshed with some of that delicious honey. A land flowing with milk and honey. That description spoke of the lush abundance of productive vegetation in that land. But the Lord cautioned Israel. If you think about what God told Israel, to always obey Him, and it would go well with them, but if they turn to idols, look at verse 16 here. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and He shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that land yield not her fruit, lest you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord giveth you. And you can think of, you know, the time in our history, the Dust Bowl, and you think about the droughts that have come, and the Lord says, if we just obey Him, we stick close to Him, and we pray that He will bless us with abundance. And He said that they would be removed, they perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord gave them. They would be removed from it. In fact, the land would be so ruined that it would startle visitors coming into that land. He said, this land will be so ruined, a land that once flowed with milk and honey all over it, will be so ruined that it will shock the visitors that come through. And they'll say, what happened to this place? Look at chapter 29. Chapter 29 of Deuteronomy in verse 22. I experienced that when I went there. Verse 22. So that the generation to come of your children shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sickness which the Lord hath laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that is not sown nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein. Amen. Like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in His anger and in His wrath, even all nations shall say, wherefore or why hath the Lord done this unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which He made with them when He brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not and whom He had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day. Wow! I say amen. Because when I went to Israel in 1976, and we started driving around that place, I said, this is a horrible desert. Rocks, sand, and bare ground. And I saw these shepherds coming with their flocks. And I'm saying, where in this whole land will they find even one little sprig of grass? And we're driving around, you know, 120 degrees in some outside there, 90 degrees in the air-conditioned bus. We're sweating away and driving around the land. And finally, we get to the Jordan Valley. Wow. Where the Jordan River runs right down through the Jordan Valley. And they irrigate their crops. And that's where all their beautiful crops were. But I felt so sorry for those goats and sheep that they were leading out across the desert. Said, is there ever even one sprig of grass for one of them to chew on? I guess they were leading them somewhere near the Jordan Valley to get them something to eat. Poor starving animals, you know. And that land that was once so lush and flowing with milk and honey and abundance all over, it happened to them. And the Lord said, your land is going to look like Sodom and Gomorrah. Because if you go down to the end of the Dead Sea, you see what Sodom and Gomorrah looked like. Nothing but, ooh, most depressing place on the face of the earth. Just everything salt and you got all these pillars of salt. And you see all that horrible stuff, and the atmosphere is so heavy and hot and just miserable. And the Lord said he would make that land like that on up farther because of her sin. Wow. A land destroyed. You think about our country and all of the fires and all of the destruction that has come in 2020 with all the hurricanes and the billions and billions of dollars of damage, destruction that have come to America in 2020? Well, let's get to the Word of God. Okay. Now, so we're going to take verses 10, 11, and 12 as our text for meditation. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from which he came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. Now, that's a really strange way for it to be put for us to understand. But you have a garden. Some of you have had a garden in your yard, and you go out there and you water it. And you carry that water and you're using your feet to go and pour water around those plants in your little garden. That's what's being talked about. That in Egypt, they had to water their plants like that because it didn't rain. Rain was hardly ever an experience in the land of Egypt. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 18 tells us that there's hardly any rain in the land of Egypt. So the first thing we're going to do today in verse 10 is to look backward. The Lord's telling them to look back to the land of Egypt. He said, the land that you're going to is not like the land of Egypt. Verse 10, for the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt. And what was the land of Egypt like? The land of Egypt, a flat, rainless country in North Africa. And it was dependent on the Nile River overflowing its banks each year. Where'd the water come from? The interior of Africa, farther back into the depths of Africa, the rain poured down and rushed out in the Nile River toward the Mediterranean Sea. And so what they had to do is when the Nile overflowed, then they had to collect water in ponds and in cisterns and save it for watering the crops when the river had gone down, till there was hardly anything for them. So the Lord says, the land that you came out of had to be a land of watering the crops. Using their feet, carrying water to their crops and their gardens, pouring it around the plants in order to produce their food. The Egyptians were not only proud of their river, they worshiped their river. That was one of their gods, the Nile River. They felt that the Nile River was their very source of life, so they bowed down and they worshiped it. They also felt very strongly that they were the master of their own destiny. By their work, by their watering their crops, by their ingenuity, they were able to save themselves. They were able to provide for themselves. Quite a typical picture of works righteousness. Poor souls believing in self-salvation. Do-it-yourself salvation. They think that they can save themselves. Well, they kept themselves alive by saving the water and using it when there was no more. They watered their crops. And so many people think they can save themselves by their good works. Only a miracle of God can save us. Only a miracle of God can permanently alter the way that we think, the way that we view the world. Our worldview is determined either by nature or by grace. And by nature, our worldview is right here. The whole universe revolves around me. You know, and then when grace moves and changes us, it is a theocentric worldview we have. Everything revolves around the Lord God. And we see through His eyes. And we have His view of things. Well, the miracle of God is necessary to change and permanently alter the thinking of self-sufficient lost sinners. Only when the grace of God changes our lives are we delivered from our own self-sufficiency. The Egyptian people could take care of themselves, they thought. That was the backward look into Egypt. Secondly, in verse 11, there's a forward look. Look at verse 11. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. Canaan land, the promised land, is a land of hills and valleys. Very similar to where we live here. Hills and valleys. When the rain comes, the hills get their share. When it's a slow shower. When the slow rain showers come, the hills soak it in. And then they gradually leak it out into springs and creeks, and you can go just drive down the road and you get between two hills and you look. So often there's a creek running or a little spring. It's just leaching out of those hills where when the rain came, especially slow rains, the hills were able to soak it in and to gradually let it just leak out into these springs and creeks. Of course, in those huge, heavy downpours that we often get, the water just surges forth, rushing down the hills and floods the valleys. But the water all comes from where? The rain of heaven. It's not coming from the interior of a continent, but it's coming directly from the rain of heaven. And the Scripture makes it clear that it is the Lord God who controls the rain. He's the one that can give the early rain and the latter rain. Now, the Lord promises to an obedient people that He will send rain from heaven in due season to grow the crops, to mature the crops, so that they will have good and abundant harvests. But if the people disobey Him and turn aside from the Lord and go their own stubborn, selfish way, or turn to non-existent gods and worship false religion, then He will shut up the heaven that there be no rain, as He says here in verse 17. Now, have you noticed the strange weather patterns in 2020? More hurricanes than ever. And after Zeta, who else? Delta, Eta. Was there an Eta? A Beta, Eta, Zeta. I don't know who all was there. Theta? Okay. Well, all these different They all have names, you know. And they come. And, you know, we were so spared, I couldn't believe it. You know, that one of those storms didn't get us. And going over toward Atlanta, I mean, it just wiped things out. Destruction over that way. You know, eastern Alabama and on into Georgia. He had great damage in one of those. The Lord spared us. We're very thankful. But storm after storm and so much destruction in our land. Billions and billions of dollars of damage. America's running wild today after idols and embracing zealously every form of filthy sin. Even little children, trying to get the little children confused to what they are. Are you a boy or a girl? I think you're not. Well, there are abundant spiritual lessons for us here, knowing that our land, like the land of Israel, their experience and our experience in a land of hills and valleys, their hilltop experiences of spiritual blessings and comfort for faithful believers. Of course, their valley experiences. After each hilltop of spiritual blessing and victory, there is a valley. But you know, if your eyes are on the Lord, God is able to make the valleys very narrow places that lead quickly to more hilltop blessings. If you're walking with the Lord, if you're clinging to Him, if you're cleaving to Him, as we read toward the end of this chapter, if you're holding close to the Lord, then those valleys can be very narrow and you'll go right into another, climbing up to the summit of a victorious experience with the Lord. God is able to make the valleys very narrow. But for those who refuse to walk faithfully and humbly with the Lord, the valley experiences of chastening and judgment can grow very wide and long-lasting in order to bring Christians to their knees in repentance. Why are the valleys sometimes so low? And why are they so long and so wide? Because of our own stubbornness, our own hardness, and our own failure to direct our eyes to the Lord and to wait upon Him and to seek Him with all of our being. If we do that, those valleys can become very narrow and not, you know, such terrible desert experiences. I wonder, 2020 has had its wide valley experiences for us. What effect have those experiences had upon you? As we have looked at all these things that happened in 2020, are you humbled by them? Have you turned to the Lord from wandering away in Bypath Meadow? Or are you staying there? Or are you seeking the Lord? What effect have these awful wide valley experiences had upon you? The Lord is bearing down on Christians in America. Particularly, God is bearing down on the professed church in America. God has a purpose of bringing us to our knees to really and regularly seek Him and to walk with Him and to cling to Him. This passage gives us a backward look into Egypt. It gives us a forward look into the land of Canaan, into experience. But it also, finally, gives us an upward look. You notice verse 12? Verse 12 of chapter 11. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. Upon it. So the eyes of the Lord being above it are upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. A special care for the place where His covenant people dwell. His eyes are upon it constantly from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. There is that constant care So if you care, cast your care upon Him, because He careth for you. The eyes of the Lord are upon the land where His people dwell. In very particular ways, His eyes are upon the place, the dwelling place of His people. He is caring for His children, supplying His children's needs, giving them much protection. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day, He says. The Lord has been especially gracious and merciful to this land in particular. You look at 400 years and tell me that the Lord has not been especially gracious to a land and to a people. Praise His name. He has not grown weary of us. Though we have sinned grievously against Him, He has not cast us off. All you can say is He has been greatly long-suffering toward us and very merciful. We have not gotten what we deserve as a nation. Instead, we've been given the goodness of God. If our eyes are open at all, if you're not sleeping, as so many are in America today, if our eyes are open at all, we realize that God has begun to judge our nation. And if we do not repent ourselves, if we do not seek Him with our whole heart, America is finished. Now let me say that again. If we can see it all, we know that God is in the process of judging America. And if we will not repent and seek Him with our whole heart, that's us, then we will lose our nation. Let's understand that. How many days, how many weeks, how many months do you live without reference to God? It's easy to come and gather together on the Lord's Day and then to walk out the door and live without Him for the next several days through the week. Just practically forget about it. That is the way the wicked live, we are told. The Lord says the wicked have not God in all their thoughts. You can call yourself a Christian, but do you really live with your eyes to the Lord? Do you often look upon Him? Do you simply live as the wicked live in this world? Daily and hourly living without any reference to God. That's a sure way to see destruction come upon our land. We are at the threshold of a new year. Go ahead and live 2021 as you've lived 2020, and you will lose America. If you live in 2021 as you lived in 2020, we will lose our nation. Just understand it. Ignoring the Lord and just going your own way, and you will lose your freedom even to go and have your own way. You will lose that freedom of doing your thing. Without reference to God, you will lose your freedoms to do whatever you like to do. Suppose that instead you will vow to God that you will live every day that He gives you in 2021 with a genuine reference to Him. As we read in that 123rd Psalm, we sang it, that our eyes are to be upon Him as a servant. Upon a master, that what He wants, we want to do. We want to serve Him. And we should live in the consciousness of God. We should walk with Him day by day. If we will vow to live every day with a genuine reference to Him, asking Him every day for grace to live toward Him in prayer and in His Word and endeavoring to walk with Him hour by hour, He is able to make all grace abound toward you, and is even able to forgive our sin and to heal our land. What is He calling us to do? To love Him with all our heart, and not to just forget Him and live like the wicked who have not God in all their thoughts. But we need to think about Him. We need to talk to Him. We need to listen to Him in His Word. And as His Spirit shows us more and more of Him, we need to be every day. Now, this message that I'm preaching is not a new message. John Calvin preached this message in the year 1555 in Geneva. And that great reformer, here I want to give you some of his pertinent comments from that sermon for us right now for this year coming, for 2021. Listen to Calvin's words. He's speaking about this very verse right here, verse 12. These words are to stir us to live in awe and fear, and to provoke us to call on God continually, and so submit ourselves to His government. He brings us into distress to provoke us to look up to Him, and to be driven to call upon Him continually. Let us not be so blind and so beastly that we neglect calling daily upon Him. Let us not shut our eyes against Him, because He provides us every daily benefit. The type of land that requires rain regularly for good harvests, He is watching us to see if we are watching Him with our eyes of faith. Are they toward Him? He will continually, from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year, look upon us. Will we call upon Him from our hearts of faith from the end of the year to the beginning of the year? I'm going to close with Psalm 123. Unto Thee lift I up mine eyes, O Thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look into the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until He have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Yes, the church is very despised in America. Yes. God is despised. His people are despised. His Word is despised. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease. Those that are just taking it easy. I mean, we go with the flow. Whatever comes, we're going with it. And with the contempt of the proud. Let us think about that as we come into this new year. Let us pray together. Our Father, we do thank Thee for Thy holy word. What a challenge it is to our hearts. Oh Lord, help us as we come to the end of this year and into a new year in Thy goodwill, that we will not live on our feelings, but that we will live upon Thy truth. That we will be disciplined disciples, faithful soldiers of Jesus Christ. True followers of the Lamb, to follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. Please have mercy upon us. And Lord, give us that one holy passion to love Thee moment by moment and hour by hour, no matter where we are and what we are doing, but to remember Thee and to not live so forgetful. But even as we come together tonight, to remember Thee, as Thou hast said, this do in remembrance of Me. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.